The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The X Games are getting underway for the 20th straight year from Aspen tonight, and they are on ESPN and the app at 10:30 Eastern. We will have men's ski superpipe with Alex Ferreira, looking to win gold again this year, and the Wendy's snowboard knuckle huck encore. Everyone in Aspen so excited to have the X Games back and better than ever again this year. And we are excited to bring you another hour of Get Up, jam-packed as always on a football Friday, live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. The crew is revved up and ready to go. Here comes the menu. It is time to get up with Deshaun, who wants the heck out of Houston. The race is on. It is the biggest trade in NFL history, and it might be right around the corner. Meanwhile, it is not a done deal that this legend will be back in Pittsburgh. We'll tell you exactly what stands in the way in Steeltown. And Tony Romo pouring gas on the fire of the number one debate as we steam toward Super Sunday. All that and more on a Football Friday as we get up with you. Starting right now with the biggest story in the sport. As first reported live here on Get Up yesterday by Adam Schefter, Deshaun Watson has officially asked the Texans for a trade. Sources telling Schefter that Watson made the request weeks ago and that the hiring of the new coach, David Culley, will not alter his thinking. Now, we just came across this in the last half hour. Browns fan site Dog Pound Daily tweeted that the Browns should consider making a move and trying to acquire Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield himself, on his verified account, quote tweeted that and responded, "Some of y'all Browns fans are funny." So given at least this much, he doesn't have a burner. He put his name on it. He put his blue check mark on it, and he responded. So let's come to the group here. There's so much in this I would like to unpack, but let's just start with Dan Orlovsky. I feel like it's an obvious question. Would the Browns be better off with Deshaun Watson than they are with Baker Mayfield?
Yes, yeah, but I love Baker. I love Baker's pettiness on the screen. This is like Christmas Chronicles 2 versus Christmas Chronicles 1. One was really good, two was better. This is like Qdoba and Chipotle. Qdoba's good, Chipotle is better. Cheez-Its and Goldfish. Cheez-Its are good, Goldfish are just better. Baker Mayfield's good. Deshaun Watson's just better. This is an inarguable thing to talk about. I feel like the next hour, all I'm going to do is try to get people to understand how remarkable Deshaun Watson is. So while Baker had a really good year and he's taken steps forward in their organization and I've had his back and I love him, Deshaun Watson's a better player. And so I love his pettiness, but Deshaun Watson would be an incredible upgrade for the Browns.
I think we all see that, right? And that's not an insult to anyone to say you're not as good as Deshaun Watson. He's one of the great quarterbacks and to Dan's point, had one of the great seasons ever. Rob Ninkovich, do you love Baker Mayfield responding to that in the public way he did, or does it make you concerned? Which way do you go on Baker's public reaction?
It's a little bit of insecurity, and I'll tell you a funny thing in the locker room we used to do. If anyone messed up on the football field and they were being called out for it, they tried to explain themselves, we would all scream, "Response!" We would scream response because you were trying to explain why this should be a different way and why I was doing it this way. And Baker is basically trying to say, like, hey, this isn't going to happen. Like, come on, you silly Browns fans. Like, I'm the guy. I'm Baker Mayfield. I'm the guy. I'm the Heisman guy on the commercials with Tim Tebow. That's me. So I just think that in that particular situation, Baker just needs to not say anything. He comes out and he responds to it, which I don't get why you respond to that. We know Deshaun is an incredible quarterback. And yes, does Deshaun make that team instantly better? Yes. So, you know, let's I know you have the chip on the shoulder and he's, you know, he's not above 6 foot. So he's got that complex. So let's just relax a little bit. Let's not respond to the people on the waves out there.
Graziano doesn't take any offense to that remark whatsoever. Dan, take us through this.
Jeez.
I mean, as we consider the places that Deshaun could wind up, I haven't heard anyone say Cleveland. Is that something that we could see happening?
I don't think so. Look, they fall into this bucket of teams that, yes, would Deshaun Watson be an upgrade over what they have? Objectively, yes. But they're not looking for that, right? Cleveland has their guy. They like their guy. They just won 11. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm sitting here going, I just won 11 games with the Browns. Like, what do you guys want? Like, this is far beyond what you've come to expect. So why would you be looking to upgrade? And I think that's how a team like Cleveland sees this. Their plan is to go forward with the program they've put together. And you know, would they make a call and find out? Possibly. But I don't think that's a likely scenario. When you talk about what a team would have to give up, you'd be overhauling your whole program, not just your quarterback situation. And right now, Cleveland doesn't feel like they're in a position where they need to overhaul things to that extent.
It was actually 51 weeks ago today, Dan Orlovsky, that Baker Mayfield was sitting with us on the beach in Miami before the Super Bowl, and he was talking about his mentality and all the growth. And I think we've all given him credit. He's shown you all of it. He's done all of it. So I'm torn between loving the fact that he responded to this tweet and wanting to say, Baker, don't do that. It is in no one's best interest. Which way do you go?
I love it. Baker Mayfield has told us time and time again who Baker Mayfield is. He's not the player he is because he's not confident in himself. He's probably overly confident in himself. That's the only way that Baker's going to have success. So I have no issue. This isn't like him taking a shot at Deshaun Watson. This isn't him responding to somebody as a player that said something about Baker Mayfield. This is him just saying, like, Browns fans, I'm your quarterback. I've proven myself to be your quarterback. Whether you think Deshaun's better or not, I'm your guy. I told you I was your guy at the combine when I was coming out. I told you that I was the person to fix our organization. I've done that, and I'm the guy that is going to get us to the Super Bowl at some point. And so that's just Baker's mindset. It's who he is. I absolutely love that about him. I never will not.
Okay, I get it, and I see it the same way for the most part. Okay, anyway, we'll see. It doesn't seem like that's one of the real possibilities, but you never know. This probably does get settled in the next few weeks. Let's go on the clock. A bunch of other things we can get to here in rapid fashion. And Dan Orlovsky, I will start with you. Going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Is there a team out there who is right now Matthew Stafford away from being a Super Bowl contender? 30 seconds on the clock for your old teammate, Dan Orlovsky. Go.
The San Francisco 49ers. I mean, if the San Francisco 49ers get Matthew Stafford, they all of a sudden vault to one of the, if not the top team in the NFC. They're going to get a lot of those pieces defensively back that were hurt this year. Kyle Shanahan has said three top five offenses with three different style of quarterbacks. None of them as talented as Matthew. An offensive line that needs to get a little bit better, but George Kittle, we know about those receivers and a play call that's fantastic. If the San Francisco 49ers get Matthew Stafford, they become one of these Super Bowl favorites because of the talent that he brings and the experience that he brings. So many teams would get better when it comes to Super Bowl odds with Matthew.
Now, no question. I agree with that, and that's one of them. They could be a contender with a lot of different people. All right, the next question is for Rob Ninkovich. Ninko, can you envision a scenario, realistically, in which Aaron Rodgers this offseason forces his way out of Green Bay? 30 seconds. Go.
No, I don't see that happening. And I think everyone has to understand that his post-game comments that he made right after a huge loss come 10 to 15 minutes after one of the worst losses that he's had in a long time in the playoffs. He's thinking back on all the time that he has committed to this team, and he's upset. So he comes off the field. He sits down at his locker. He's taking his cleats off. He's getting himself ready to go. He's got reporters asking him questions. I think at that point he was upset, and he said some things that he didn't mean. Then he thought about it, took a couple days, and then kind of went back on what he was saying. I don't think he goes anywhere. He's going to be in Green Bay.
Interesting. We should be getting some word out of there this week about how the meetings that he had with upper management may have gone. Meanwhile, Graziano, let me come to you. Are we living in a world in which the Cowboys trading Dak Prescott is actually on the table? 30 seconds. Dan, go.
We are not, Greeny, but there are things that happen that change the world sometimes, and it's possible that the next 5 or 6 weeks could change the Cowboys' perspective. Right now, they are adamant, as they have been all along, that they believe Dak Prescott is and will continue to be their quarterback. They want to sign him to a long-term deal. They have tried and failed each of the last two off-seasons, but they think they can get it done this year. If they can't, If they can't, and they have to franchise him again at $37.7 million and confront the possibility that he would leave at the end of the year and they would get nothing in return, then they have to think about other options.
Yeah, sign and trade is an expression we usually use in the NBA, but it exists in the NFL. It has happened, and it could happen here. We'll take a short break, but we have so much still coming in this hour. The Steelers, they want Big Ben back. He wants to come back. But there is a huge factor that could get in the way, and we'll tell you exactly what that is. Plus, Tony Romo pouring gasoline on the Brady Mahomes GOAT debate. Wait till you hear what he said. You will next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up, and with all the talk about Deshaun Watson, let's talk about another quarterback with an uncertain future, Ben Roethlisberger, whose cap hit for next year is over $41 million, and that is something that the Steelers president, Art Rooney II, knows isn't going to work.
So we've been, I think, upfront with Ben and letting him know that we couldn't have him back under the current contract. And so I think he understands we have some work to do there. I think that those are discussions we'll have with Ben and his representative. It takes two to figure that out, and whether we can agree with what he wants or vice versa, we'll just have to see.
So Ben himself told Ed Bouchette of The Athletic, quote, "I want to do everything I can," and made that very clear to them from the very beginning. It was basically my idea to help the team however I can this year. He added he, quote, "doesn't care about my pay at all this year." Isn't that interesting? So there's a lot of different ways to unpack this, and let us start with Dan Orlovsky. Are the Steelers best suited by having Ben Roethlisberger on the field next year if their goal is to try and win a championship next season?
Yes, if they can't get Deshaun Watson or Matthew Stafford. If their choice is Big Ben or maybe a first-round rookie, then yeah, Big Ben. And I think that's where the question the Steelers have to ask themselves. As an organization, do they truly believe that they're a championship caliber football team, like they can win a championship next year? If they believe that, then yeah, Big Ben, if you can't get those two other guys. If they sit there and think that they're just good, then they should move on and they should address their quarterback of the future situation, because the cost of bringing back Big Ben is gonna have long-term impact on who they can have on their team. Bud Dupree, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, like, can they bring those guys back while also bringing Big Ben back? Those guys can have impact on their future 2, 3, 4 years from now. Big Ben can't. And so if they think they can win a championship, great, have Big Ben. But if they don't, and I don't think they can, because they're chasing Cleveland, they're chasing Baltimore, and they're chasing Buffalo, and they're equal with Indy and Miami, and obviously chasing KC. If they don't think they can, then they need to move on.
In the meantime, let's even just focus in on the immediate. Like Rob Ninkovich earlier on this show, Bart Scott was describing Ben Roethlisberger, particularly towards the end of this year, as a guy who was quick to the check down, not willing to take the hits, not pushing the ball downfield. None of the things that made Ben Roethlisberger the Hall of Fame he's going to be. Do you see that on the field? Do you believe he is their best chance to win next year?
Well, I think he is their best shot of winning next season, but you got to look at kind of what they were doing this season as well with their offensive line, having the injuries that they sustained there, not having a running game. I mean, think back to early Ben Roethlisberger. They had Jerome Bettis as your running back, setting the tone early, running the football. So they have to address some other issues You can't just put the ball in Ben's hand and expect him to throw it 50 times and you're going to win these football games. He needs some balance. You have to run the football. You have to have a balanced offensive attack. You can't just drop back like he's been doing this season and having those injuries with the offensive line, having a 39-year-old quarterback. If they want to compete next season against Cleveland, against the teams that they are chasing, it's really hard to do that with a young rookie quarterback. And I agree with Dan, what he's saying. If they try to go get a veteran guy like Stafford, because I feel like Stafford increases, it helps your team instantly. He comes in, he helps your team. So I think that if they want to win next season, they have to do it with Ben Roethlisberger. And then they need to find that bridge guy and have a young quarterback come in, learn underneath Ben, in the meantime, to where then they can move on in a couple years when Ben's in his 40s.
I don't know if they consider Dwayne Haskins to be that guy. I mean, he was a first-round pick 2 years ago, and he is there. In the meantime, Dan Graziano, there are any number of other considerations that are going to play a large role in how this thing works out, right?
Yes, the Steelers are projected to be significantly over the cap. If the cap is $175 million, they're projected to be $33 million over. So when Ben Roethlisberger says he'll do anything he can, his current cap number is $41.25 million. The lowest they could possibly get that for this year is about $23 million. Doesn't solve all their problems. And they still haven't dealt with key free agents like Juju Smith-Schuster and Bud Dupree. Guys like T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick that are going to need extensions very soon. Rob talked about the offensive line. They could lose Maurkice Pouncey to retirement. They have to fix some things on that line, which played very poorly this year. A lot of issues with Pittsburgh, even if they can figure out how to get Ben Roethlisberger back for the lowest possible number next year, it doesn't fix all the issues they have.
Does Stafford feel like a real possibility there, Dan? I don't mean necessarily just to call on your friendship with him. Dan Orlovsky, I'm sorry. But that's not one I feel like I've heard much. Does that feel like a real possibility to you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like a real one because, again, I think that the teams that go get Matthew Stafford or at least are entertaining the conversation to go get Matthew Stafford are teams that think that they can win a Super Bowl next year, that they've got this 1 or 2 year window to go win the Super Bowl, and they've got to have an incredibly creative GM to try and go swing and take their shot. Now, there's teams always working in the dark, but I don't see Stafford in Pittsburgh. I see it somewhere else. I see him at somewhere else that is a Super Bowl contender next year.
All right, we will see. That's obviously another of the huge questions around the NFL. We're spending this whole morning in search of those answers. Coming up, we will tell you exactly why Deshaun Watson had the greatest season that was wasted in NFL history. Really, may never have had a better season on a losing team in the history of the sport. We'll give you the numbers, and then we'll give you this. Graziano and Hembo going head-to-head. Who is the only player in NFL history with an MVP and two titles through the age of 25. Patrick Mahomes could be the next. Who's the only one who's got it? Oh, Graziano looks confident. Look at the look on his face. We'll see if he's right next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and Dan Graziano looked very confident that he knows this answer. Dan, who's the only player in NFL history with an MVP and two titles through the age of 25?
See, he thinks he's slick because it's a trick question. Everybody always thinks quarterback. It's got to be quarterback. But I know there was a time when it wasn't always a quarterback that won MVP. And there was also a time when the Dallas Cowboys used to win Super Bowls. The answer to this question is Emmitt Smith.
That is correct. Your confidence was well taken. Emmitt Smith won the titles in 92 and 93. He was the MVP in 93. You own Hembo. There's no other way to look at it. Patrick Mahomes could be the next to do it if he wins next Sunday. So on the season, Hembo 6, Graziano 5. But candidly, the Norm Van Brocklin question does not count. Coming up, Tony Romo pours gas on the fire of the number one debate in the sport as we steam toward Super Sunday. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So I imagine there were probably several people who were wondering why it is that Deshaun Watson is so dead set on getting his situation changed and moving his way out of Houston. And so if you are one of those who was wondering that, let me help you. Why might Deshaun be frustrated enough to force his way out of Houston? There are a lot of reasons, some of which you could see on the field. Let's unpack those. It starts with just how good he was this year. In the whole history of the sport, there are 4 quarterbacks who completed 70% of their passes for 8.5 yards per attempt over a full season. Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Drew Brees each did it once. In all of those 3 seasons, their teams won the Super Bowl. Watson just became the 4th. His team went 4-12. How could that happen? Well, first of all, they couldn't run the ball at all. Their running backs had the fewest rushing yards in the league. And then their defense was unimaginably terrible. Over the 15 seasons that ESPN has been tracking defensive efficiency, this year's Texans were 478th. Out of 480 teams. That is why franchise legend J.J. Watt apologized to his quarterback after the last game of the season. And remember, too, this is the franchise that traded away DeAndre Hopkins, who was first-team All-Pro 3 straight seasons with Watson. Hopkins went to Arizona and caught 115 balls this year. Now the Texans have very little opportunity to add talent. They don't draft until the 3rd round this spring because they traded 2 ones and a 2 to Miami for Laramie Tunsil. And the franchise's other legend, Andre Johnson, is tweeting warnings at Deshaun. That was the first tweet Andre has had in 2 years that wasn't an ad for something. So you ask yourself, what happens now? To a very large degree, the answer is whatever Deshaun wants, because his team may not have listened to him a month ago. But now that he has demanded a trade, that is something they absolutely cannot ignore. So that's the situation on the field. It goes well beyond that. We certainly know that much. And so let me bring in the crew to talk about that here. And Dan Orlovsky, I will start with you. We just went through the football stuff. And you pointed out earlier, you played on some bad teams with some good players. I'm sure they were frustrated, but yeah, Never to the point that they demanded to get out. So clearly for Deshaun, this is about something more than that.
Way more than football. This is about Deshaun's soul. Like, this is about Deshaun Watson, the person. This is the same person that, when he was growing up, work done in many ways saved his life, saved his family. This is the same guy that, when he did sign his contract extension, got emotional talking about the family and the impact and the support from his family. So this is a guy that players in the NFL like revere Deshaun Watson as a player, and they look at him greater as a person. So once you cross that line to him as a person, that you've disrespected him as a human being, that's when he has these feelings that there is no going back. And I said this, Greeny, like, the NFL should look into this. What happened? What exactly happened? Or what was said or communicated that got him to the point where he said, I do not care what it's going to take for me to get out of Houston. I am gone. The NFL needs to look into it, because guess what? Other free agents coming, they're calling their agents going, I don't want to go to Houston after watching what they did just did to Deshaun Watson.
I've heard the same that you have. Bart Scott, what do you make of all this?
Well, I mean, I think they let Bill O'Brien hold the organization hostage and really run it into the ground on his way out. And I'm from the same type of area as Deshaun Watson is from. You know, we all know his story. We know that Warwick Dunn gave him a house for humanity for him and his mom. We know about that. But, you know, guys that are from places where I'm from want respect. And he wants the respect of the CEO of that organization. And you don't disrespect somebody from the organization by trading his number one weapon without his knowledge. You know, let him be blindsided. You don't go out and then in turn say, hey, I'm going to include you in the conversations and then not include him in the conversation. You didn't have to take his recommendations, but you had to understand and let him feel that he was being heard, that his voice has power. Now, we can imagine Tom Brady. We can imagine, you know, all the other premier quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers going out and saying, hey, you know, let me know what's going on and keep me involved in it. And it's about the mirage, about the mirage that, hey, maybe you do have more power than you do have. But if you tell him that he's going to be included, then you have to actually listen to some of his recommendations, whether you hire who he wants to hire or not.
Yeah, look, I mean, respect is the thread of commonality. Aaron Rodgers, they went out and drafted his eventual replacement last year, and we see the problems that has caused. Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
Well, unfortunately, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last, that a player's been lied to. I've been lied to. Bart's been lied to. Dan's been lied to. When you're a football player, these coaches and management, they're just fluffing you up, and they're going to tell you what you feel like they want you to hear to keep you happy. And I think at this point, you can't put everything on Billy O. It's got to go up to the owners too, because that ownership level was the one that said, hey, you're going to have some input in the GM decision. And then he went out and he hired a GM. So I think at this point, he's just done. And when someone tells you, look, I'm done with you, I'm done, that cuts deep. And he's upset, and granted, he should be upset.
Listen, and I will tell you this too. Real quick thought. Go ahead, Bart.
Bill O'Brien was the general manager. He's the one that made those trades. He's the reason they don't have any salary cap space. He's the reason they don't have a number one receiver. He's the reason they have no draft picks.
Yeah, Rob Ninkovich is going to defend the former Patriots. It just doesn't make any difference what they do. And I can tell you they have a news conference today. How about this? There's a news conference in Houston today at noon Central Time to introduce the new coach. Can you imagine what the questions are going to be there? Every one of them is going to be about Deshaun Watson. So there's that situation. Then, of course, there is the Super Bowl in 9 days. Let's talk about that, because one of the greatest quarterback matchups that we will ever see is on the way. I, in fact, have said it is the best quarterback matchup ever, Brady versus Mahomes. It's the GOAT versus the future GOAT. And yesterday, Tony Romo, who will be calling the game for CBS, shared these thoughts on the matchup. Quote, there's a chance Patrick Mahomes playing this game to climb the ladder. If Mahomes wins, he keeps that door open as far as becoming the GOAT. If Tom Brady wins, I don't know how anyone can top him. Tom Brady is the greatest who has ever walked, and we are in the Super Bowl with the one guy on earth that most people would agree could possibly one day, 15 years from now, come into that stratosphere. I'm telling you, this game will be talked about forever. He knows how to sell a fight, Romo does, but frankly, there's very little in that to disagree with. So what do you think, Dan Orlovsky? We've had some pushback on that notion this week from Jeff Saturday in particular about the idea that Mahomes is the future GOAT. Do you think that this is GOAT against future GOAT next Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the heck Jeff is talking about either. Like, we can't have an opinion of who the future greatest of all time could be. Like, I know he said there's either a GOAT or not a GOAT, but, like, we can also entertain the guys that have the potential to do it. I would say that when it comes to this weekend, Mahomes can't catch Tom Brady when it comes to Super Bowl wins if he doesn't win this weekend. And then he also cannot be the GOAT if he doesn't catch Tom Brady, if that makes sense. Like, he's not going to be able to surpass, in everybody's eyes, Tom Brady as the GOAT unless he chases down those Super Bowl championships. That's just the reality of how we look at the quarterback spot when it comes to career accomplishments. So this weekend is bigger than just the 2020 Super Bowl champion. Like, this weekend's winner, or this coming weekend's winner, is going to determine if Tom Brady is sitting at the top and no one's going to chase him down, or if Patrick Mahomes has, next weekend, if Patrick Mahomes has the actual chance to go chase down the greatest of all time when it comes to that. Because I'll say this, if he wins this weekend, and I think he will, he's going to go chase down Tom Brady's 6 Super Bowls.
Rob Ninkovich, what do you think? You won 2 Super Bowls with Brady. What do you think is at stake here as far as the legacy of these two guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with what Dan's saying as far as Super Bowl wins, and this is a matchup where if he does win this, he's going to have 2 under his belt. He's got a few more to go. I understand where Saturday is coming from as well. Like, how do you talk about a future GOAT if there is the GOAT? How do you even say future GOAT? I understand a little bit what he's saying when he's talking about that. But you have to understand, to be the GOAT, you have to win in your 20s, in your 30s, and Tom's doing it in his 40s. So you have to be at least to 10 Super Bowls. I mean, that's like the at least 10 Super Bowls. And he's got 6 Super Bowl victories, Tom Brady. So if Pat Mahomes wants to surpass, he not only has to play well into his late 30s, early 40s, he has to be at or above the levels of Super Bowl wins and Super Bowl appearances. And he's young. He is young, and he's going to be to 2. So he's got a long way to go to surpass the things that Tom Brady has done.
Now, Graziano, you're one whose job is to chronicle these things. What do you think is at stake in this matchup?
Well, yeah, I think to Tony Romo's point, it's sort of like a division game, right, where you can either gain 2 games or lose 2 games at the same time. If he loses, then he's 2 years further behind where he needs to get, you know, to catch Brady. So, and if he wins, obviously he picks up, he kind of doubles that up. So that's the way to look at it. But, yeah, I mean, look, to Rob's point, what Brady has done is redefine it, right? Before Brady came along, who was the greatest of all time? We probably would have said Joe Montana for how much he won. Brady has taken it to a different level with how long he has performed at this level, and I think that's where Mahomes is looking way into the future for maybe a chance, if things continue, to someday get there.
You know, the aging champ, the young contender, it reminds me of the barbershop scene from Coming to America, Rocky Marciano and Joe Louis. Marciano won that fight. If Joe Louis had won, it would have changed the dynamic. If Brady wins this game, it goes beyond debate. Coming up, the Lambeau Leap. How the Packers can make Aaron Rodgers a happier man. Plus, is all the offseason quarterback chaos good for the NFL? We're talking about that as we roll on. It's a Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Boy, there is a lot to unpack.
It's gonna go down, don't get up this morning.
It's legendary, it's iconic, much like the three men I'm sharing the screen with.
You are high.
I'm high on life.
I hate both of y'all.
If you're scared, get a dog.
I cut my hand, and yet here I am.
Tom Brady did a great job rushing the passer yesterday and covering guys. He called a great game on the defensive side of the ball.
And he said to me, you ever seen the look in a man's eye when he's about to go kill?
What?
And I said, no, obviously, I've never.
Aaron Rodgers is going to go outside and say, hey, baby, I'm going to get a pack of cigarettes from the corner store, and y'all ain't never going to see that bad man again.
There is no upgrade football-wise.
Aaron can do whatever the hell he wants because he's Aaron Rodgers, Dan.
Stop yelling like heathens. Relax.
He can do whatever he wants to do.
Listen to Schefter, Dan, for one.
Yes, Pat, tell him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Green Bay's not going to let him walk for like a fourth-round pick.
No doy.
Get a win of no doy.
RC, your face right now speaks for us all. Been a fun week here on Get Up. We thank you for coming along for the ride. And our weekend tips off with some of the NBA's biggest stars on ESPN tonight. Giannis and the Bucks taking on Zion and the Pelicans. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then don't miss the Utah Jazz squaring off against Luka and the Mavs. Our NBA Friday coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio. Greeny with you on Get Up. We're with you commercial free for the next 13 minutes, jam-packed as we work our way through all these quarterback questions on a Football Friday. And then, top of the hour, it's time for First Take here on ESPN. And they'll answer these questions. Can the Steelers win a Super Bowl if they bring back Big Ben? Plus, what is the best situation for Deshaun Watson? Join Stephen A., Max, and Molly coming up next. And, you know, I try very hard not to talk about what I'd like to see happen, and then my daughter goes and sells me out. On Twitter yesterday, my daughter tweeted a picture of Deshaun Watson in a Jets helmet and said, please let this happen. I haven't seen my father truly happy in like 11 years. Let the record show it was It was really more like 10 years, but okay, she got to the point. So let's make this happen. All morning long, we've been going through different franchises that have been mentioned prominently in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Right. And here to represent the New York Jets is our own Bart Scott, the former Jet. So give me the pros and cons, if you're Deshaun Watson, of the New York Jets as a possible destination.
Well, Greeny, in the previous segment, you heard Michael, Mike T say, hey, well, look at what the Dolphins did. Well, who were the Dolphins the year before? They were the New York Jets. So now you have opportunity to come to a place that has a blank canvas. So you think about, they have tremendous salary cap space. They have the ability to go out and acquire as much talent as needed. They allow Deshaun Watson to be part of the decision-making, something that he didn't get in Houston, and it allows him to fill that roster up to his strengths. Also, you think about them getting Mike LaFleur, having an opportunity to have that quarterback-friendly offense. They go back and they have opportunity to fill the roster up with guys like Zach Ertz. They can go out and get Kenny Galladay. They can go out and get a guy like Allen Robinson. And he automatically becomes the best quarterback within the division. Everybody in the division is looking up to him saying, hey, this is the standard. This is the gold standard within the division. So he has an opportunity to do all those things, Greeny. He has a blank canvas. He can get tremendous talent around him. He has tremendous left tackle. You know what I mean? But the only problem, the only thing you have to worry about, Greeny, and I would say the only con, is the fact that this organization has been dysfunctional. But I think you have tremendous confidence in Robert Saleh. You have tremendous confidence in Joe Douglas and what he was able to do in 1 year of having a draft. He has tremendous draft capital to improve this team through the draft, but also through free agency. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm saying, hey, I get to come to New York, be one of the biggest stars. I'm still living off damn can't wait. What can you imagine what he can do and the heights that he can take this organization, sitting here in the New York area, being the number one athlete, hanging out with James Harden, his best friend. They can continue to keep that friendship and then make the great migration up north.
I like it. So we did pros and cons for some other teams earlier, and these are those for the Jets. And this is incredibly ironic because earlier we asked Mike Tannenbaum to play the role of Miami Dolphins GM, and he was that once. And now I'm asking you to play the role of New York Jets GM, and you were that once too. So if you're in that seat right now where Joe Douglas is currently sitting, what is your sales pitch to Deshaun Watson?
I really like where Bart started, Greeny, but I would go much more big picture. We want you to come to New York City and be Derek Jeter. We want to talk about an all-time legacy. When you win in New York, you win forever. There are still billboards of Bill Parcells and Phil Sims, and you could go down as a great New York hero and talk about guys like Eli Manning and Derek Jeter, and then it's going to be you, Deshaun Watson, and we're going to be able to do things off the field for the next 20, 30, 40 years. There's no place like the NFL, and there's no place like the NFL in New York. And to Bart's point, this team is loaded with draft capital. We're going to get good, young, hardworking teammates for you. And the pen is going to be in your hand, and you're going to write an incredible script right here in New York.
You think that part of the appeal of this would be if the Texans decided they liked the idea of getting Sam Darnold back in return. That's obviously up to them. Bart Scott, super quick. Sam Darnold going to have a big NFL career. If he goes to the right place, right circumstance, are you interested in Darnold if you're Houston?
You know, I absolutely believe that Sam Darnold has a tremendous career and tremendous potential. He just has to get to a good organization. And I don't know right now if Houston's a good organization, but he'll have an opportunity to change the narrative. I can see Sam Darnold in San Francisco. I can see him in Indianapolis as well. He could definitely be a valuable piece if they decide to go in another direction, either through the draft or through free agency.
All right, we'll see what winds up happening. I will say this. My family's social media, if the Jets wind up getting Deshaun Watson, is going to be lit. All right, moving on. Another quarterback with his future very much in question, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Tuesday, during his regular appearance on Pat McAfee's show, Rodgers addressed the speculation that he may want out of Green Bay after the comments he made after the devastating loss to the Buccaneers. And this has, with Deshaun Watson's news yesterday, sort of gone under the radar a little bit. But our understanding of the circumstances here is that Aaron Rodgers, it was reported earlier this week, was spending the entire week in Green Bay because he wanted to meet with the front office as opposed to just the exit meeting with the coach, and talk about what he may want and see if they can sort of work this out. So, Dan Orlovsky, what do you think he wants? You know what the quarterbacks are interested in. If you're Aaron Rodgers, what are you looking to hear from them before you head out to L.A. for the offseason?
That we're choosing the now. Aaron Rodgers all week reminded us that the Packers, and he reminded the Packers, that last year they chose the future. They invested into the future with Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon. So now Aaron Rodgers is like, no. You guys, you're gonna invest in the now right now. Corey Linsley, my center, I want him back. Alan Lazard, my important number two as a wide receiver, I want him back. Aaron Jones, our starting tailback, I want him back. You know, like Robert Tonyan, our starting tight end, I want him back. Like he's the captain now, and you're gonna do what I want you to do. And then also, as you guys chose those draft picks for the future last year, you're gonna take a future draft pick and invest it into this year. Because the reality is, I think Aaron's going like, listen, we're really good, but we're not good enough. So you guys in this draft are going to get somebody, an impactful player, our Nick Bosa, that is going to put us over the top to make sure that we can actually make our final run next year. And I think Aaron's just going, you guys are going to give me what I want right now.
Be interesting to see if that's what he wants or if he wants some assurances that they're not moving on from him after next year one way or the other. Bart Scott, right. What do you think?
Right, because we know in Aaron Rodgers' contract, they have a natural out in 2022. So what I'm saying is you chose wrong, and Rob should know this better than anything. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying, guess what? You chose wrong. I want you to do something to make me feel good, and nothing can make me feel better than more money and more job security. So, yeah, I want to talk about the now. I am the now. I want to talk about the future. Guess what? I am the future, just like Tom Brady. So take your little Jimmy G and Jordan Love and ship him out somewhere because he's getting in my shadow. That's what I'm saying.
I like it, and that's actually the first thought I had, too. Ninkovich, what do you think happens here?
I agree with Dan. I mean, he's going into these meetings saying, I need results for next season because right now I'm playing at an all-time MVP level. I showed you that this season. You went out and you drafted a first-round quarterback. Thank you for motivating me and putting a little fire underneath me because guess what? I'm in a new place mentally. I'm having fun. This is the best season I've had in a long time. Thank you for getting a first-round quarterback. And now I'm showing you why you need to take that first-round quarterback, put him somewhere else, go get me a receiver, go get me a pass rusher, because I want to win this thing this year. Next year is my opportunity because we were this close. We need a couple pieces. I 100% agree with Dan. And look, he's still playing at an all-time level. He at least has 5 to 6 more years of playing at that level. Wow. We've all seen it. You see Tom Brady doing it at 43 right now. Aaron Rodgers can do that as well.
Final thought. Go ahead. Who had it? Go ahead, Bart.
You're agreeing with Dan, but you're quoting me. So what you have to do is get rid of Jordan Love because you got to think that, listen, if he can play 5 more years, then Jordan Love will be through his rookie contract. So I'm saying I want job security because guess what? Next year, if you decide to move on from me, then all these great positions that's open in San Francisco, Indianapolis, Dallas potentially, New Orleans are going to be gone. So either you say I'm the future and lock me down now, or I'm leaving now and trying to get in one of these open spots. And you hear that the Rams are flirting with him, quoting some of his stuff in some of their press conferences.
That's what I think is right. I think he wants assurance that they're not just going to dictate when his career in Green Bay is done. He is going to dictate
exactly
when his career in Green Bay is done. We will see. Meanwhile, great way to end it here. The quarterback carousel is spinning faster than it ever has before. This offseason seems guaranteed to offer unprecedented turnover at the position. And yesterday, our Dominique Foxworth had this to say about those possibilities in a new look NFL. Listen.
I believe that market forces make businesses improve their behavior and improve their product. You have to make yourself a more attractive destination. Once the players become available and can force their way out, if you're doing things poorly, they will force their way out. If you're doing things well, they will force their way to your organization. Organizations who don't have hope, fans who don't have hope, will have hope when their organizations get better and when they are able to attract these superstar players, mostly quarterbacks.
So it's interesting. So I think the question I wanted to leave it with here, Dan Orlovsky, is this idea of players having control of their own destinies, which is much more an NBA thing traditionally than an NFL thing. You think it's good or bad for football?
I think it's bad for football. And Dom obviously doesn't read any of his mentions on Twitter. Like, one of the things that makes football great, specifically the NFL, is how much fan bases hate other fan bases and hate other players. Like, could you imagine Bart Scott rooting for, like, eventually having to, like, root for Ben Roethlisberger? Or the fans of the Ravens hating Ben Roethlisberger and all of a sudden be like, hey, we get to cheer for Ben Roethlisberger? Or Cowboys fans having to root for Carson Wentz? Or Eagles fans having to root for Dak Prescott? Like, no, I hate it. I love the fact that everyone hates the other team and other team's players because an organization chose them. So I think it's a terrible idea, Dom.
What do you think, Bart?
I think it's a great move. I mean, I think you give teams hope and you make teams be accountable to make sure that they have a, you know, that they're doing responsible, they're being responsible and make sure that their team is a winner and an attractive destination. I think all this movement creates hope. I think now there's going to be hope in some of these other places that they can get franchise quarterbacks and that we're having all this movement. And listen, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. It's a thin line between love and hate. And listen, the same people that booed LeBron when he left cheered him when he came back, and they didn't mind, you know, having to boo him when he was in Miami. It's okay. As long as you have my jersey on, you're the guy that I'm going to root for.
What do you think, Graziano?
Yeah, I think Bart's right and Dan's wrong here. I think both internally and externally, Shocking. It's a good thing for the NFL. Internally, I just don't think they're going to be able to survive much longer with, you know, the outdated concept of treating players as commodities that they can just move around how they want and say, no, you'll play where we tell you to play. Just don't think that's going to work for current modern-day athletes and ones that are coming in the future. And then externally, geez, I mean, the business we're in here, this is the offseason we're heading into. We're talking about all this. The interest level in the league when there's this kind of hot stove activity, to borrow a baseball term, is just really, really massive for a league that wants to stay relevant in all 12 calendar months. So I think it's a benefit in a lot of ways.
This is what you're going to find, Dan Orlovsky. I say this in all sincerity. Your kids are real young. You're going to find as they grow up, particularly with the NBA, and it may now become the NFL, they root for players, not teams. My kids root for players. My kids love, particularly in the NBA, they love Steph Curry, they love LeBron James, they root for those, and whatever team they go to, that's who they root for. It doesn't sound right to you, and it doesn't sound right to me either, but that is the way of the future, Dan, and I think it's the way, Orlovsky, final thought, of the future of the NFL.
I thought that I was on a panel with people with integrity, like people that were willing to do things the hard way. And apparently Graziano and Bart Scott just want the easy way out, that when things get tough, they're going to run to the path of least resistance.
With your Mr. Rogers, with your Mr. Rogers sweater.
Stop being soft.
With your Mr. Rogers sweater, you're telling everybody to get off my lawn.
Integrity. I'm out of time. We're 5 seconds from being done, whether we stop talking or not. First Take is next.